As you see, my boy, while intending to tell you somewhat more about the three-brained beings breeding on the continent of North America, I have, by the way, said a good deal about the three-brained beings arising and existing on all the continents of that particular planet. I do not think you will hold this against me, however, since in this way you have learned many facts, throwing lights on the details of their strange psyche. As regards the degree of degeneration of the common presence of those who compose this large contemporary group on the continent of North America, from the point of view of the possibility of acquiring a being nearer to that of normal three-brained beings in general, I can tell you something reassuring for them, which is that, in my opinion, there remains among them the highest percentage of beings in whose presence this possibility is not entirely lost. Although this new community is composed of a continually increasing stream of three-brained beings coming from the continent of Europe, where, in order to find beings with such possibilities, it is necessary, particularly in recent times, to search specially, as our wise teacher Mullinatzer Eden says, with a high-powered electric arc lamp, I repeat, there is a larger percentage of such beings in America than on the continent of Europe. And it seems to me that this is because those who have migrated and continue to migrate there from the continent of Europe are chiefly beings from the common folk, and not the offspring of European beings belonging to the ruling caste, in whom, thanks to the predisposition to Hasnamusian properties, transmitted by inheritance from generation to generation, during long centuries, so much inner swagger exists at the present time that it would never permit them to blend with the general mass in order to strive together with common efforts to become such three-brained beings as they ought to be. It was owing to the almost total absence of the offspring of the European ruling caste among these American beings, and to the fact that, as a mass, they formed a milieu in which it was still possible for members of our tribe to exist without having to be exposed to emanations coming from surrounding beings that have a harmful action on the subjectively natural inner forces of every being, that I was able, during my stay among them, to rest as I desired. Now, my boy, since I have spent so much time explaining the meaning of all those pernicious customs of the beings of this large contemporary community have invented or restored, which had existed many times before on their planet, and had proved injurious, in the objective sense, not only for themselves, but also for all the other three-brained beings breeding on the other continents, it is, in my opinion, necessary to, so to speak, a closing chord, to initiate you also into the thoughts which began in my mentation on the last day of my sojourn among them in the city of New York, and ended on the steamer as it was moving away from that continent toward the east. That day, I was sitting in one of their peculiar cafes named Child's, situated at what is called Columbus Circle, waiting for the beings from the continent of Europe who had accompanied me to America to go with them to the dock of the outgoing steamer. I was looking out of the window at the passers-by, who, to an automatized perception, seemed to differ in appearance, of course thanks chiefly to that baneful terrestrial invention recently fixed in them, which they call fashion, and by which they are more enslaved than the beings of any other continent, but who nevertheless somehow seem to be, in respect of their inner content, astonishingly alike. While observing them, I recalled my final conclusion of the day before, and thought that in the present period of the flow of the Harrow Pass, in the common planetary process of ordinary existence of these strange three-brained beings, the beings of this new community represent the hotbed of the intensive manifestation of the already long-established particularity in the totality of their strange psyche, which one of the highest sacred individuals once described as the periodic fundamental source from which issue new causes of abnormalities. The shock for these associations and my further active reflections was the observation I happened to make that what constitutes the overall subjective appearance of each of those three-brained beings, such as clothes, gestures, manners, and in general all the habits they acquire in the process of their existence, is purely and simply an imitation of everything considered by the free beings of other independent communities of other continents, free in the sense that they have already experienced and consequently been disillusioned with everything the process of ordinary existence can give, as unworthy of manifestation by beings similar to themselves. This accidental realization of mine astonished me very much, chiefly because I had already reached the definite conclusion that at the present period the beings of almost all the other communities on this planet, whether newly formed or at an advanced stage, imitate to the full all the innovations of the beings of this young community and enthusiastically adopt those innovations in the process of their ordinary existence. And now it was clear, on the other hand, that all the external manifestations of the being of this new group, and consequently the inner subjective evaluation engendering these manifestations, consist only in those bad habits which, as I have said, to the great regret of the free beings of the other independent groups, have become fixed and inherent in the common presence of the ordinary beings of their communities. This unexpected realization of mine aroused an impulse of intense curiosity to clarify for myself the logical causes of this terrestrial incongruity. All that day, while sitting in Childs, awaiting the arrival of the beings from the continent of Europe who had accompanied me, and while riding the taxi that took me to the dock, and also on the boat itself, I went on pondering this question very actively, of course appearing to strangers to be looking automatically at everything proceeding around me. As a matter of fact, while among your favorites on the planet Earth, I became an expert, indeed truly a virtuoso, in behaving so as to appear like them, and to pass unnoticed, or as they say, not to catch the eye. Sitting on the deck, and watching the twinkling of the lights on the shores of that continent, gradually growing fainter as the steamer moved away toward the east, and pondering and comparing all the facts in their logical sequence, I succeeded in making almost entirely clear to myself just why and how this incongruity could have arisen on that ill-fated planet. To begin with, I established a number of facts that might have enabled this incongruity to arise, but afterward, when I began, as is done in such cases, to eliminate one by one all those that ensue logically from one another, I eventually came upon a fact insignificant at first glance, which to my astonishment turned out to be the original cause of this abnormality. And I realized that this famous education of theirs, so often mentioned by me, inevitably engenders data in the common presence of each of them during the period of their preparation for responsible existence, no matter to what independent group he may belong, for the definite conviction that in former epochs on their planet, beings similar to them had never perfected themselves to that reason which their contemporaries have attained and may even surpass. Concentrating my thoughts on this and recalling all my former impressions about this question, perceived both consciously and automatically during my previous observations of your favorites, I gradually established that all of them, particularly in the last 30 centuries, had become convinced during their responsible existence that their contemporary civilization is simply a result of the direct continuation of the development of their reason, which began at the very appearance of three-brained beings on their planet. And so, when the beings of some group or other, owing to the formation in them while still in their preparatory age of fresh data for this false conviction, accidentally come into possession of something regarded at the time as desirable, which at once invests them with authority, and discover also accidentally some idea that has existed many times in past epochs, they pass it off and broadcast it as having been thought of by themselves. Then the beings of other groups, through the absence in them, due to wrong education, of any data proper to all three-brained beings of responsible age, that engender in their presence an instinctive sensing of reality and a broad outlook, believe that this something desirable is appearing on their planet for the very first time, and also that once this idea is applied in practice, it will be really very good. And they forthwith begin to imitate the first group in everything, both the good and the bad, even if it is completely contrary to all that exists and is well fixed in their ordinary life, merely in order to possess what, for today, is considered desirable. I then even remembered that I had once before seriously reflected on this subject during my fifth sojourn on the surface of your planet, when the city of Babylon was considered the center of culture of your favorites, and when, on account of some similar question, I had to make a logical analysis of this strange feature of the psyche of these peculiar three-brained beings. Then, as now, I reasoned as follows. This way of thinking could perhaps be justified by taking into consideration that, owing to the abnormal conditions of ordinary existence established in past epochs, no exact information reaches these three-brained beings about events that occurred in the past. But how can one accept that there never arises in the mentation of a single one of them, in whom, even today, there does sometimes proceed something similar to the process of confrontative logic, at least the following simple and, as they would call it, childish idea? If, as they say themselves, and are even convinced, their planet has already existed many, many centuries with their species dwelling upon it, and if before them many, many millions of beings similar to them, that is, beings who could think, must also have arisen and existed, would there really not have been among those millions at least a few who could have also invented all kinds of comforts for the well-being of their contemporaries, such as the ones which these contemporary American beings are now inventing, and all the others are uncritically and even rapturously imitating? For example, comfortable seats in the water closets, preserved foods, and so on and so forth. This unpardonable lack of thought is all the more strange in that they themselves admit the existence of many ancient sages, as they now call them, and do not deny the wealth of information that has come down to them concerning objective truths revealed by these sages. Information which, by the way, certain of your contemporary favorites, without any remorse of conscience, are passing off as the product of their own thought and exploiting to the full for their various egoistic games, without at all suspecting that the inevitable results of these wiseacrings of theirs will sooner or later lead their descendants to total ruin. According to all my observations of them since the disappearance of the continent of Atlantis, this peculiarity of their mentation, which is so difficult to understand through any logical analysis, by engendering in them the false conviction I have spoken of, has always been, so to speak, the center of gravity cause of almost all the unfortunate events, both large and small, in the process of their collective existence. Thanks to this false conviction resulting from their strange mentation, and thanks also to the effect on the whole functioning of their feeling of the consequences of the properties of the organ Kunde buffer, which inevitably arise in their presence at responsible age, and are called envy, greed, and jealousy. It always happens there that when the beings of one group become the possessors of some innovation, which at that time is considered desirable, the beings of all the other groups, as soon as the rumor reaches them, immediately experience the desire to have the same thing. In most cases, because of that maleficent habit fixed in their everyday existence, which they express by the words, "never stand in the way of progress." And from that moment on, there arises in each of them, as I have already said, first the need to imitate the beings of that group, and second the indubitable certainty that these beings must exist very correctly, since they have been able to acquire what is then regarded as desirable. In this connection, the piquant strangeness of the mentation of your favorites is that there never occurs in it the process called reflection, whereby they might understand, even if only approximately, the true reasons why some beings possess that which evokes in others envy, greed, jealousy, and so on. And so, my boy, although the beings of this new group have not acquired any of the results attained by the conscious labor and intentional suffering of the three-brained beings of past epochs, and have absolutely nothing of their own, and their entire inner content, as well as their outer manifestations, consists only of everything bad that exists among contemporary beings of other independent groups, these latter imitate now to the full whatever is invented by the beings of this new group, solely because they have now accidentally become the possessors of just that which in the objective sense is most despicable, yet which, owing to the abnormal conditions of the ordinary existence of these unfortunates, is considered desirable.